Okay, we are all the way on the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page. The Gemara tells the following story. Hahi itza, debay detavrachinhu lenichsa migavra. So there's a woman who is about to get married, and she wanted to make sure that the money, her nichse melug, right, the money that she owned on her own, wouldn't enter into her marriage. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Amana Haisa, she had already been married and had lost her husband. Ubas lihinase. Now she was going to get married again. Vahaisa makdemes vinosnison labita. So what does she do? Before she gets married, she hands over nichse milug, right, her property, whatever things that she has that she doesn't want to bring into the marriage, she gives them to her daughter. So her husband shouldn't be able to get his hands on them, right? And as we've been talking about, and this will become important as we move along, that the nuchse milug, the keren, the main,
principal,
thank you, belongs to her, but the peros will belong to the husband once they get married. Right, so she doesn't want him to get that zechus. So he gives her, she like makes a sale or a matana and gives it to her daughter. It's not a sale. It's a gift. V'hodia le'edim, and according to Rashi, at least at this point, she tells Edim, she'ein matana zu matana ela lahavriach v'lo shetiska behenabas. Right, so she makes it clear that she's doing so specifically to avoid her husband getting his zechus in the nichse milug, but it's not that the daughter actually owns them. That's not her goal, right? Imtis aman he otis garish, meaning so if her new husband will pass away or will divorce her, she wants to be able to go back and collect those nichse milug back from her daughter. Fine, so that's what happens. So she makes gives this gift, but it's really doing it as an end around to make sure that she, doesn't end up giving the nichsim milug at all, or the zechus in them to her new husband. And what happened? In Siba v'garsha, so she got married, and then she got divorced. So now what happens? So now Asa like hamei the Rav Nachman. So she came to Rav Nachman. Why did she go to Rav Nachman? Says Rashi, litboa es bita lahachzir es nechasim. Right. So she goes. Now she comes to her daughter and says, "Give me the money back, or give me the karka back, or whatever it was." And she says, "I want it back." Vabas hotzia shtar matan asa. Right, so she takes out the basa of Yamin, I have a shtar that says that you gave me these as a gift, right? So says the Gemara, so what happened? So Asa kamani de Rav Nachman, so they came to Rav Nachman, kare Rav Nachman the shtara. Rav Nachman tears up the document. Okay, presumably meaning that he thinks that it was not a good document. This wasn't, presumably because it was it was never meant as a real sale, so he tears it up, meaning, no, give the money, give whatever the property was back to your mom, because she never really meant to give it to you as a gift. Okay. So okay. Yeah. So also Rav Anan lekame de Marukva. So Rav Anan went and he said to Marukva, Amar lei chazi mar Nachman chakla hechi mikarish tari de inchi. So he went and he said, can you believe it? Look at what Mar, interesting, he calls him Mar Nachman, right? So like Mr. Nachman, he's Rav Nachman. He calls him Mar Nachman. Look what he like. He's a chakla. Rashi says chakla. Ain't no baki bedinin. He doesn't know the halacha, right? And by the way, he points out Umar Ukva Abezin Hava, right? Umar Ukva was the Abezin. So he's going to complain to Mar Ukva about Rav Nachman. He doesn't know what he's doing. He tears up people's stars. So I'm related. So he said back to him, well, not so fast. Amali. Easy. Tell me the truth, right? Tell me now. Gufa de uvda hechihava. What was the case? What had happened in the case? So Amalei hechihava. He tells him. I'll tell you exactly what happened. He describes to him. This woman was getting married, and she doesn't want her husband to get the next milug, so she gave it to her daughter on that, you know, for that reason, and wrote a star. But it was, you know, again, she made it clear it was only because she wanted to get around her husband getting the next milug. So Amalei shtar mivrachas ka'amris. Hachi Amar Rav Chani Lai Bar Idi Amar Shmuel Moa Hara Ani Im Yavo Shtar Mivrachas Liyadi Akreanu. So he said, "Well, there's a Shtar Mivrachas. I'll tell you that they said in the name of Shmuel, who said that he was given permission to give Piske Halacha, and he would, if someone would show him a Shtar Mivrachas like that, he would tear it also. So I don't know, you're so upset at Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman did the right thing. Look at Rashi. Mora hara'ani, just by the way. He says, Natati Rishus, me Rish Galusa. And I have permission to give to Paskin Shalash from the Rish Galusa. Okay, right, and Rashi points out, V'lo yav Rishusa el labaki b'davar. They only gave Rishus to someone to give psak if the person knows what they're talking about. Right? It's like giving smicha. Right? They only can be allowed if someone's given, you know, they test the person to make sure they know what they're talking about. Fine. So and what did he say? Im yavo shtar mevrechas liyadi she yirtzeh mekabel matana lahachzik b'nechasim apiv shelo lahachziram leno sein ekrenu. If the person brings a shtar to hold on to that property or that money or whatever, not to give it back, right? So I would tear that up, right? I would tear that up because it's not a good shtar. So Rashi points out, Lakame Parech, Gemara's asked later, Ho Velav Shtarahu, He Cho Lavriach. Okay, so then it's got to be one way, it's one or the other. If it's a bad star, you would tear it up, so why does it work to keep the property out of the hands of the husband? Right? So, you know, which one is it? The Gemara's going to talk about that in a second. Fine. But the bottom line is, he was not bothered by the fact that Rav Nachman tore up the star. So Amalei Rav Alei Rav Nachman. So Rav now says to Rav Nachman, and starts asking about the question. So there's a lot of different people here, right? Because Rav Nachman was the one who tore the star, and then Rav Anan went and ran to Ma'ukva and told him what happened. But Rav Nachman was still there. So Rava now is talking to Rav Nachman. Rashi points out, Kishakara oso star, hechi samachta baha adashmuel v'karasale. But he's still, meaning, basically we now like go back in the story, and now Rava is standing in front of Rav Nachman still. So, just like in terms of where everybody is. So now we're back. Okay, Rav Nachman's a good guy. We can trust him. So now let's find out more about what Rav Nachman did and why he did that. So Amalei Rav Rav Nachman. So like Rav Nachman, explain this to me. Time am I? What's the reason for this whole thing? The lo shavik inish nafshe v'yahiv lacharine. Right? So meaning, what's the reason why Rashi says, time am I amar Shmuel ekra'enu? Why did Shmuel say that he would tear up such a star? Why is that? Because a person would never leave things for himself, right, and give them to somebody else, right? So look at Rashi. V'lo shavik ini nafshe v'lo gamar lahaknoso ela ba'od shehu doeg me'acherim shliach ziko behem. Right, meaning a person doesn't have in mind to be, you know, makne, to give over something that belongs to him, right? Unless he's so worried that other people are going to take them from him, right? The reason to give it over to the daughter in this case is because she's nervous that, you know, someone else is going to get it, right? But hani mili lacharini avala barsa yehiva, right? But meaning what's the concern? The concern is she gave it over, but she didn't. She gave it over why? Because she's nervous someone else is going to get it from her. But and then what? And then she'd want it back, right? Because I only gave it to you because I was nervous about my husband who's going to take it from me, but my husband died. Or divorce me, so now I'm not worried anymore, so I want the money back. But that would be true if I gave the money to a stranger, right? But if I gave the money to my child, maybe I would want the money back from my child, right? Right. So, hanimid lachrini avala barsa yahiva. Maybe in that case, Shitaka would want to give it over, right? Right. Rashi says hanimili benosnes on the ish nachri ikalameimar the lo gamra va'akne. Right. I didn't really mean it. I just gave it over for you to hold on to. It's like a deposit. Avala barsa yahavala. Right, matana chaluta. Maybe I gave a real. Maybe to your daughter. Maybe you'd say it was a real sale. So I understand the idea in general that Shmuel says you would tear up such a document because I never really meant it as a full kin the person should keep forever. Right, but maybe by your daughter you would. So he's responded, "No, afilu hachi, but milkam barsa nafsha adifala." He says, "What do you mean? I get it. Person, it's more likely to want their child to have the money than themselves. But when it's a child to have it than a stranger." Right? But if it's me or my child, I still want my own money. So not necessarily. And that's why the same rule can still apply. And that's why what Nachman was doing was the same thing that Shmuel had said. Fine. And that's why you could tear up such a document and say it's not the mom should get her money back.
This whole scenario sounds very similar to when we sell chametz on Pesach. Right? We sell it with the intention of knowing that we're selling it somewhat, not full-heartedly, but we have an objective that we're trying to achieve.
Right.
We can't have possession of it for a certain mm-hmm. period of time. And it's almost as if part of the transaction, whether it's
the knowledge that it'll come back.
Said, right? It's as if it's almost like it's
right.
part of the kavana of the transaction.
Is that yes, it's not I hear you. I hear you. The difference is that when it comes to Mechiratz Chametz, you know, we talk about it a million all the time, right? Is that it is a real sale. It's just that's a lot of money, so the person would likely not want to ever, you know, pony up all the money because it's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But the sale is a full on sale, and this just like, you know, we've had the stories of people who say, "Fine, I'll pay all of it and I'll keep all of it," and then you actually have to let them do that. The sale is full in that case. The question we don't have an answer to yet is this matana a full matana or not? Right? The goal of the matana is to get, sounds like not.
Right?
So I would argue that it might be different than the sale of chametz. The sale of chametz really is a full sale. It's just that the person probably wouldn't want to go through the process of going to every person's house, making sure that exactly how much money is there and how much stuff is there and how much it's worth, etc. The likelihood of them wanting to pay for the whole thing in the end is very unlikely. But it is a full sale. The question here is this considered even a full matana or not? Because that's what you're getting at is this question that Rashi brought that brings up, which is, I don't get it. If it really works, then it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So which one is it? And I think that's the point you're bringing up. And that's a fair point. I think we have to see. So yeah. So fine. So far it works, but now the Gemara has to ask another question. So Mesevik. Hirosa shetavriach nichzei mivayla. Okay, so a person who wants to, again, make sure that her husband doesn't get her nichzei miluk. Ketzat hi osa. What should she do? Koseve shtar pasim lacherim. She writes a shtar pasim. What's a shtar pasim? So it's not a real shtar. Rashi says shtar pasim. Sounds like ketonet pasim, right? But it's not. Doesn't mean it has many colors or stripes. Rashi says shtar pasim. Shtar piusim. Shemifaisiso, right? It's a star that will, you know, make the person feel good. What do you mean? Lekaba shemifais lekaba matana makes the person feel like willing to take a matana, right? Lekaba matana zu lafkia zuchos baila kodim nisuin veloshi yiske mekaba zabehem. So it's a star pious, meaning it makes you feel good. Meaning to give you a star, making like, oh, like, yeah, you have like something, you know, this is sort of real, right? So it's a star that makes you feel that you're getting something, even though you're not really getting anything, okay? So the Gemara says, "Kosev shtar pasim la'achirim divrei b'shem gamliel." So b'shem gamliel, you write a shtar pasim. It's not a real shtar, but it makes them feel like they're getting something. But it's not, you know, a real matana, okay? V'chachamim omrim ratza misachik ba ad shetichtov lo mehayom ulucha she'erze. Right. So chachamim say, actually, if the person wants, they can, you know, mitzachikva literally means like mess around with you, right? But that to say that they'd keep the money. Like Rashi says, imratza hamakabel hazeh mitzachikva umachzik behen olamis. Right? The Rechamim says, well, wait a second, it's not totally true. The person could actually, if they want, they could keep the money, right, for themselves forever. It continues in Rashi, ad shetichto vishtarzeh mihayom nesun lecha ulechishe erza yeshkan havracha mibayla shimbaliskos tomer ani rotze. Meaning, The point being, the Chacham say, unless you make it clear in the shtar that you intend to take it back, right? Then it's a full sale. It's exactly what you're asking about, right? Then it's full, unless you write, I'm only giving it to you because it's a shtar mevrachas. I want my husband not to be able to get the money, right? So says the Gemara, time of the kasevale.
Yeah, that still works.
Right? Yeah, so yeah, same problem. Like, yeah, and nevertheless, if you do that, he still doesn't get the money, right? So very weird, right? So time of the kasevale, right? If that's only if you write it, otherwise the person gets the money fully, right? So it sounds like the person really does get the money, right? In which case, what do you mean she can go collect it back from the daughter? It should really be, unless you wrote something specific in the star, the person should be able to keep it. And it should be like a full sale. So Amrav Zera Lokasha, Habakula Habamiktsasa. It depends how much money, or what, how much, you know, how much in general, right, car, whatever it is, that you wrote to the person, okay? Did you give away all of your nichzei miluk? Did you give away only some of them? So look at Rashi. Habakula ki amar shmuel lo kani b'kosev esal kol nichzei, or nichzei. The time when the kinyan doesn't work, that's if she wrote over, she gave over all of it, right? The kaven de lo shire, right? Shire mide, lenafsha im tiskarish, and inside de lo gamra mekanya. The fact that she gave all of it away shows you that she never really intended to give it as a matan at all, right? It was just a shtam mevrachas, Right? So, and therefore, in that case, you, the person can't keep it because it wasn't meant to be a full sale that way. Because service miktasan. And that depends. What do you mean ratzim mitzachin? That means if you only wrote some of it. If you only gave away some of it, so meaning you were guarding the rest, you were holding on to it. So what does that show? It shows the amount that you were giving away, you really meant it. Right? Okay. So but still at this point it sounds like no matter how much I write in the shtar, the husband's still not gonna get it. Right? Just a question of whether the shtar that you wrote is the shtar that's going to leave the kinyan as a full kinyan in the end or not. Yes? Okay. So Gemara says, okay, v'ilo kenini lo keach nikninu ba. But okay, but if that's true, if you're telling me that in the case where you give, let's say, all of it away, right, that the daughter, whoever it was in that case, is not going to be able to keep the money, right? So then why doesn't the husband get it? So Amar Abaye, asa'um kenechasim she'in yaduin labal, valid Rabbi Shimon. Something unique about this case. When you write, if you write a shtar to give away your nechsim yiluk, even though you didn't really give it fully away, and the understanding is that you're going to get it back later if the marriage ends up ending, nevertheless, it's considered as if the person who's getting the matana didn't really get it, right? But that meaning in the sense that it's not permanent; they could always be recollected by the original owner. Nevertheless, it doesn't go to the husband because it's considered like nechasim that he doesn't know about, and like the cheat of Rabbi Shimon, which we saw in the Mishnah. So look at Rashi, or is there Rashi here? Yeah, can nechasim she'inan yiduin sharei amanas she'inan shalah nasa. Right? Why does he marry her? He marries her, assuming that it's not hers. Right? I guess it's a good question. Does he have to not know, right, that this is happening? Or can he know that the process is going on? Then he would know about it. But the point is that when he marries her with the assumption he's not getting the nechsim yiluk. The savar shamatana gemura. Right? It sounds like he really believes that it's a full matana. So it should be a shtar mevrachas. It sounds like he has to think that she really gave it away. So if that's true, that he has no intention to ever get it, so when they get married, that he gets married assuming that it's not his, in which case he never made a kinyan. And that's why he never gets a nechsim yiluk. So in the achari kechlos hakol, what it sounds like is this is different than let's say bichiras chametz, in the sense that anyone who knows what's happening here knows that the matana is not real, or knows that it's temporary.
There's no reasonable expectation to that. I mean, I think that's what, right? That's
he what has no reasonable expectation to it because she fooled him.
And I guess he's just like, based on where the Gemara is coming at, he just has no reasonable expectation to ever acquire those properties. So when he came into the marriage,
he doesn't make a kinyan on it,
right,
in a certain sense, right, at that point. And that's why. But it does sound like he's being fooled to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. It's right? It does sound like that.
Yeah. Well, it's what he doesn't know.
Well, right, unless
being,
it's like
being withheld from him, that it's
Rashi says, Shari amanash she'inan shalan nasa desavor shamatana gemura. He thought that he thinks it's Matana Gemura.
Yeah, it's like parking. She's like parking her assets. In
yes.
Sense. And, but it's respected, and so therefore he has no reasonable expectation to it because it's respected, and the Gemara is respecting that type.
But
of,
it says the Savar Shematana Gemura. I'm just saying, according to the way that Rashi says it, it sounds like he thinks it's a Matana Gemura, even though she knows that it's not. No, isn't that what it sounds like?
Yeah. But
it doesn't sound like everybody knows exactly what's happening here.
Right, I guess I'm just asking, but like, okay, right, but then what's the next step? If the Gemara's maskana is that even that it works, that she can claw it back, and since that's respected, he still has no reasonable expectation to it because he knows that ultimately he's never going to be able to get it because that's the way...
You're saying like, right, like chicken or the egg, sort of. Yeah, I hear you saying like... I hear you. I think we're still left like a little bit murky. But it does. I don't know. It sounds like it sounds from Rashi. At least I'm not saying that's like the bottom line. But it definitely sounds from Rashi that if he would know for sure that this was what was going on, that maybe the bottom line would be different. Right? Is that fair to say? It sounds like, at least. I don't follow Rishon would agree with that. But that's what it sounds like. That's what makes it, you know, I think concerning to us. But that's what it sounds like, at least. We could, you know, talk more about it. But that's what it seems like to me from what Rashi says. But I guess we'll have to see. Okay, so let's go to the next mission. Okay, naflu la nechasim, naflu la ksafim, yilakach behen karka, v'hu ocha peiros. So let's say she acquires money, right? So again, this is sort of gets more into the details of what we do with things that she gets. Right? But every time, the point is, she always keeps the Karen, right? She always keeps the principal, and he gets the peros always, right? He gets whatever is, comes out of that initial principal, right? So so dafilu anachasafim. So what if she gets money, right? She inherits money. So what happens? You take that money and you purchase land. Right? So meaning we're able to split it up in the sense that she takes the Karen, the money, and buys land, and that land now will produce peros, and he'll get the peros. Right? Because we always split it up. She always keeps the Karen, and he gets the peros. The whole conversation is only ever about him getting peros. Right? Peros had solution minakarka. Let's say she gets peros that have already been picked and separated from the ground. So again, then you should buy karka. For who ocham peros, and then he should eat the peros. Peros mechu mechu bar makarka. What if she acquires peros that are still attached to the ground? Rabbi Meir shamin osa kama hi yafa be peros, v'kama hi yafa below peros. So we determine how much is it worth with the peros, how much is worth without it. Umosa yilakach behen karka. And whatever's left over, so then again, you should purchase karka with, and then he can eat the peros from that, from what's purchased. But the point being is that every time, the assumption is, you just take whatever you get, and you take the money, you purchase land, and then she keeps the land, and he gets the peros. The Chacham say, no, if it's already mechubar lakarka, so whatever is mechubar lakarka, that already remains his, and whatever is picked, so that belongs to her. And then again, you purchase karka and he'll eat the peros. I think we'll explain later on how you make these distinctions. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Malkom Shiyafa Kocho Biknisasa Hora Kocho Biknisasa Yehora Kocho Biitziyasa. So Moshe Shimon says, look, when his koach is more powerful on the way into the marriage, so it becomes worse on the way out. Malkum Shahora Kocho Biknisasa, when his power is good, is not in good shape on the way into the marriage, Yav Kocho Bitsiyas, then he does okay on the way out. What do you mean? Ketzar? Peres Hamukhubarin Lakarka Biknisasa Shalom. Right? When there's peres that are connected to the ground on the way into the marriage, they're his. Ubitsiyasa Shalom. And then she gets to if they were his when they started, when they got married, then when they get divorced, they become hers. Vatlushim in the karka, but things that are separated from the karka, biknisasa shalom, when they get married, they belong to her, ubitsiyasa shalom. And then when they leave, they belong to him. So again, we'll have to, talk about how these things get split up, depending on, the coming in and the going out of the marriage. Look at just Rashi for 1 second. Biknisasa shalom. Yeah, look at Rashi. Sorry, b'tziyasa shala, and on the way out, they belong to her. Right? Hamegarish is ishta v'hayi b'nechasim peros mechubarn. Right? Let's say they get divorced, and the nechasim had peros that were connected to the ground. So no, tell us karkosel ima peros. Right? The rule is she takes the karka back. Right. So if they were peros that were mechubar when they went into the marriage, he gets them. But then once they get divorced, if they're still connected to the ground, she takes them home now. Because she gets the Karen, or she gets the karka. But b'chnisasa shala, on the way in they were hers. B'lakach v'hen karka v'u ocha peros. But on the way in, they were detached, right? So then, on the way in, they're hers, right? And she takes the karka and he gets the peros. But b'tziyasa shala, but on the way out they're his. The Masha Kadam Vitalash, but Oda Tachtav, if he took the peros while they were married, Zachaben, Midin Peros Nichnimuluk. Right? So if they were connected and they were hers, and now when they leave, they're disconnected, so he takes them on the way out. Fine. So starting tomorrow, we'll pick up from this Gemara.